Got a little bit of a sexy selection this week, don't we? That got me a little Randy, ready to pass out a little Peter. Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the latest edition of Pod is War. Pod is War is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And use your head. Show your intelligence. As the IWC, because you are smarter than the average fan, and that's why you're here listening to us, and that's why you support the Chair Shot. You read all of our articles, you listen to all of our fantastic, wonderful personalities on our various podcasts, and you might be thinking to yourself, how can I show these people some love? Glad you asked. You can take yourselves to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and pick up your official Chair Shot t-shirts. We've got the old school designs. We've got new school designs. We've got Baron Corbin Sucks, endorsed by the man himself. We've got my personal fave, Jesus Did the Job. We've got Chair Shot 316, which is also a cool one. Save Tag Team Wrestling, which we need that desperately. I'm a huge tag team wrestling fan. I don't know about you, Tony, but I love tag team wrestling, and we do need to save it. Either way, if you enjoy all the content that we provide for you on a daily basis, week in and week out, 24/7, we'll get to that a little bit later. 365, show your boys some love and your ladies some love too, man, because we bring in the heat with the ladies too. Like the Chair Shot, not only do we have dudes on here talking shit about wrestling, we've got women on here talking shit about our wrestling. Not only are we the premier professional wrestling site in the whole world, we're also the most progressive professional wrestling site in the whole world. I mean, we've got opinions, reviews, news, and analysis from all across the political spectrum. Everything from MAGAs to mamas. So go ahead, make sure you guys go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, pick up your official Chair Shot merchandise. I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt, and again, I'm joined by the one, the only, the moderator, the commissioner himself, Mr. PC Tunney.
Oh, I am just struggling along here, and you know why, but I'm okay. I'm pretty much going to lay my interest to rest here on the television and focus my head over here on wrestling. And let's see what kind of great conversation we can have tonight.
So for those that don't know, we're recording this on a Tuesday night, and currently Mr. Tunney's Milwaukee Bucks are getting curb stomped by the Toronto Raptors, which this ain't a good look.
Yeah. They're definitely not burning it down in the North right now. Let's put it that way for all you Game of Thrones geeks. And by the way, shut the fuck up. The fucking season was buying. They're not going to remake a $500 million season. Anyway, shut up. Just keep going. Go ahead.
So you were pleased with the finale. Is that what you're telling me?
I tweeted out. I said today, I go, Game of Thrones finale, thumbs up. Money in the Bank winner, Brock Lesnar, thumbs up. 24/7 belt, thumbs up. Whiners, come at me. Use your head. And then there was a meme of Brock Lesnar making it rain with a bunch of money.
That's hilarious. That's almost as funny as him with the boombox. But we'll get to that momentarily. Before we begin, I just have to say, again, for the second straight week, Mr. Andrew Belaz, he is not going to be joining us today. He's a little bit under the weather. Normally, this is the time of the show where I would make some sort of crass and cool joke. However, I don't really know what's going on with him. So, you know, from the bottom of my heart and, you know, legitimately, Andrew, we love you. Get well soon, brother.
The only way I can shout out to Andrew, though, is
I butt chug salt water all the time.
Well, you kind of stepped on my joke there, because I was about to come back with the and let the other shoe drop, but it's done now, so wait, I won't.
Go ahead, do it again. I can play it again. There's like, I don't have to put a quarter in every time I play it.
No. We'll just say, you know, get soon, Andrew. We hope you're feeling better, brother, and don't worry, because herpes does not have to be a death sentence. I mean, you've seen the Valtrex commercials. Those melon farmers are living their best lives, man. Like, they're frolicking through poppy fields. You know what I mean? They're holding hands in adjoining hot tubs. Like, it doesn't have to be a death sentence, man. You can still live a productive life. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying.
I butt chug salt water all the time.
Which is probably how he ended up in this predicament.
You shouldn't reuse butt chug jugs.
No, don't reuse butt chug jugs. Yes, I can't believe that's a sentence that I've ever said in my life. I never thought I'd ever say that, but apparently it needs to be said.
I'm just impressed we both said it without fucking it up.
I had to run up to it. It's like, you know, you're running fast and then you see a hurdle coming up, so you start to slow down so you can clear it. That's what I did.
Do we both dare attempt the hurdle one more time?
No, I'm not. I'm quitting while I'm behind, bro.
Yeah, I'm getting scared. My lips are kind of quivering. I was like asking the question, like, let's do it. Then you said that, and I'm like, no. I think that was very impressive that we got through that.
Yes. Sometimes you just gotta say something nice and wrap it up. I think that's one of those times. But okay. Have you ever noticed that, though, man, in these herpes and HIV drug commercials, man, these people just be kicking it. I mean, I guess there's an argument to be said that in order to contract HIV or herpes, you were probably out there wilding anyway. So why would a little thing like this ease stop you from living your best life, you know?
I'm not sure, though, because these are really brief glimpses. Like, what if they're having the worst fucking time ever, but they're just ripping a really good one to relieve some gas pressure, and it's the one time in the day for, like, 3 seconds they smile?
Well, I mean, it's a drug commercial, man. They're not going to show the times that they're sitting there crying in the dark, you know, pining over their situation. I mean, they're drug commercials. Like, the drug dealer on the street, he doesn't show you the after effects of the meth. He just shows you the great time that meth can provide for that particular point in time, for that brief point in time. Yeah. Everybody gets high, B. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Everybody gets high.
I don't know. I just still think those people are farting in those commercials.
Well, farting can be fun, too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. They're living their best lives, man. It doesn't have to be a death sentence. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. I don't even know where we go from there.
Yeah, I don't either.
I'm not sure how we got here, and I'm not sure how to get us out of here. You,
I got it.
You're the moderator. Moderate.
All right, topic number one. Brock Lesnar! How's that? I think I turned that around pretty quick, huh?
Not bad. Yeah, not bad. That's why we keep you around.
All right. Phew. Good thing. Sometimes you just got to make it happen. Brock Lesnar, your money in the bank winner. Mr. Platt, I'm sure you have a lot to say about this, so why don't you go ahead and specifically talk about him winning it and what the ramifications are of that and the Chris Jericho tweet I'm sure you're aware of.
That's funny. I was going to ask you about the Jericho tweet, so we'll circle back around to that, but I love it. I thought it was excellent booking. I love the idea and the concept of Brock Lesnar having the Money in the Bank. It's almost like a pit bull off the leash and walking around and you don't know where the owner is. That's how I look at Brock Lesnar having the Money in the Bank briefcase. So I'm on board for that totally. Shout out to Brock Lesnar actually showing some personality on Monday night. I was really digging him having the Money in the Bank briefcase up to his ear like it was a boombox and he was jamming out. He tried to do a white moonwalk. It didn't work out that well for him, but I found it highly entertaining. And just him smiling is great because he's got like this shit-eater smile and you want to just punch him in the face, but you can't do it because you know that would be the worst decision in the history of your life.
Don't you want to see like fun Brock Lesnar though? Like he's mean when it comes down to it, but otherwise he's like, he's joking around. He's the fun bully. He's the jokester bully. Don't you want to see that side of Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, but fun bully is like taking your peanut butter and jelly sandwich and spitting on it and then throwing it on the ground and then walking away. That's fun bully. Or taking a bite out of it and then seeing it's nasty and then licking the bread and giving it back to you. That's fun bully stuff. Which, I mean, yes, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I love the boombox thing. And, like, he was smiling and messing with Seth. But then when it came down to face-to-face, he's like, yo, I'm going to beat your ass, motherfucker.
Oh, the boombox was awesome. Like, that might be the greatest thing I've ever seen Brock Lesnar do. That might have been Brock Lesnar's greatest promo, and he didn't even say a word. And shout out to Paul Heyman, too. He came out suited and booted. That was that, you know, we styling and profiling suit. Like, we talking that shit suit. You know what I mean?
I believe it was a blue suit with gray cross stripes going up and down and some phenomenal brown shoes.
Yes, and he's only got like 26 hairs, but they're always, all of them, perfectly in place.
And he caught the briefcase when Brock threw it to him. So that was probably the most important physical thing. That was the biggest thing he had to do that night because oratorially he was ready to go. He did a great job. But like physically he had to do something and he succeeded physically at doing something that evening. So that was probably his biggest achievement of the night.
And it's still weird to me that in 2019, Paul Heyman has a better fade than Samoa Joe. That's just weird. Like Samoa Joe's hair is actually getting progressively worse.
Samoa Joe looked like he had some big ass fucking whiskey nose after his fucking broken nose. Still, that thing was big. It looked like he was 94 and had a fucking, you know, butt chug jug full of whiskey every day for the last 30 years.
You went for it and did it. Congratulations, kudos to you. Where's DP man with the ring the bell?
Yeah, I don't have that.
Good for you.
Yeah, yeah. Just give me this.
Sodas rule.
Yeah, they do.
I thought you got rid of that, man.
It's you always have a pack of cigarettes in the glove box.
Oh, Jesus. So I want to get to the Jericho tweet, but before I did that, my initial thoughts when I saw that Brock Lesnar grabbed the money in the bank is that he's going to cash it in on Kofi because they want Brock Lesnar to be the champion going into the fall when SmackDown moves to Fox. I mean, why not have your biggest name on what's going to end up being your A show? And now, granted, I know that, you know, a lot of the scuttlebutt has been that we're going to get Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar at Jam in the Sand 3. And since they don't have automatic rematch clauses now, which is as goofy as a pet coon because every other combat sport in most of their contracts, there's an automatic rematch clause in there. But that's neither here nor there. But that would be a way to get us to that match if that's where they're going to go. But I still think eventually he's going to cash in on Kofi.
Well, he's going to announce it next week on Raw, right? I mean, that's what they said. They said they're going to show up next week and say who they're going to face.
Oh, so it is going to be Seth Rollins, and that is going to be the Jam in the Sand 3 match then. Because Kofi's preoccupied with returning Dolph Ziggler now.
Right. I would love for them to let Brock Lesnar have this, you know, shit all the way till next year when he has to cash it in. But
that's what I'm saying, man. Let him run with it for a little bit.
To me, it's like a title that Brock Lesnar has that's not taking a title out of rotation in TV time, but it gives him purpose and standing whenever he shows up and decides to show up. But before we continue to finish out the very first topic of the evening,
Speaking of deciding to show up.
There's a man I'd like to bring in. You're still the Heartbreakers champ, right? I mean, shit, you got a big triple threat match coming up with that?
Damn Skippy.
Not that I know.
All right, well, then let me just play this to bring him in.
The champ is here. I just smashed shit right here. The champ is here. This shit is crazy.
The evil genius.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's the indie star that raises the bar. None other than the one and only Aesop Mitchell. Aesop, how the hell are you, sir? That's okay. What? How the hell are you?
Are you calling from prison? Like, is this your one phone call? What the fuck, man?
I was busy teaching. Thank you very much.
Oh, that was improv night.
Yeah.
Yep, teaching the future comedians of the world to underachieve, eh?
Hey, you know it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's nice to see Christopher Platt and Aesop Mitchell have picked up right where they've left off.
No, shout out to Aesop, man, and thanks for doing the run in here, man. We really do appreciate it. But I'm a little pissy because, goddammit, I'm the MVP, and I've never got that cool of an introduction or entrance theme song.
All I get are good introductions.
You've never been a champion of any wrestling promotion, though.
I'm holding two belts. I'm Aesop two belts right now.
You look like Osama bin Mitchell right now, quite frankly.
Hey, now. That might be drawn in a little too far.
What? Is that a too far a line in the sand? Ba-doom-tsh.
If
now we got puns going on.
There's going to be tons of puns. There's going to be tons of puns in your future. But what's the other belt that you currently hold? I almost said we.
Oh, I'm also one half of the ICW Tag Team Champions with my cohort Derek St. Holmes.
I thought that was Alvarez's belt, the ICW Tag Champs.
Don't tell me what it is. I know what's up.
No, that was a knock on. I don't even think I got his name right. I know it's Alvarez, the dude that be fooling with Meltzer. I'm not a big fan of his. I was trying to play him. That wasn't a knock on you, Sock. That was a knock on him.
Well, just
Brian,
you know,
Alvarez.
I do teach comedy if you ever need some help with that.
If whoever needs some help with that, which it sounds like you do, I'm here.
Damn, Aesop strong out the gate tonight on Christopher Platt, in my opinion.
Who asked you?
No one. I just a dire friend in need.
You are a dire friend in need. That's why I'm offering my services, sir.
No one needs any of your services.
Ooh, I had a good one lined up, but
in Atlanta that can fill that up for you.
I had a good one lined up for you, man, and I didn't want to pull the trigger, man. Just know that it involved either your mother or your significant other, but I didn't want to go there because I'm keeping it classy. I'm keeping it classy.
That's all we do here. Between me and you, Platt, we just keep things classy.
Yes, that's what this is. Anywho, let us get your thoughts on the Beast in the Bank, man. That's what we were talking about before we were so rudely interrupted, is the fact that Brock Lesnar now has the Money in the Bank briefcase.
I mean, it's genuine heat, right? You can't make a much better heel out of Brock Lesnar than what he did to poor Ali. Personally, you know,
Ali, though, isn't it, though, Sop? Like, isn't that really on Ali? Like, I understand being shocked because you heard the Beast music, but I'm, like, right there. I'll grab the briefcase because I'm probably going to need you to hit this Mellon Farmer over the head with said briefcase, and then we get up out of there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Lesnar exactly sprinted towards the ring. He did, like, a brisk dog, which I did find to be quite bullshit, but whatever. You know, Ali was so mystified that good old Brocky Brock was back for some fucking reason. Like I said, I've been very big on these guys that they want to continue to push for no fucking reason. You know, Brock Lesnar is the Shane McMahon's. Why does Triple H and Batista get a fucking Mania match?
Whoa. For no fucking reason, word?
No fucking reason.
Brock Lesnar's not the biggest box office draw they have in the company. Like, the McMahon's aren't historically ratings draws. And the Batista Triple H thing, that was on Batista. He's been campaigning for that match for years now. That's what he wanted.
Yeah, who fucking cares? Look at the quality. I'm just saying, Brock Lesnar goes into matches. He's now the new Goldberg. He works for 8 minutes, maybe, probably closer to 5 or 6. So he fucking sucks. Shane McMahon, yeah, he's gotten slightly more athletic-ish, but his shit looks awful. He comes in with those fucking flurry punches, and I want to die every single time I see him. They look terrible. And just altogether, man, I'm sorry. The only one that I can give any sort of credit to is Rey Mysterio, but even then, they book him in such shitty ways, like they have with him and Samoa Joe, that why should I care?
Oh, the hate is strong with this one, Jedi. I can't disagree with you about the Rey Mysterio thing, but
very vocal about this.
Let me ask you this, because I'm under the impression that they called an audible in that Samoa Joe Rey Mysterio match because Joe got his shit fucked up. Now, as a wrestler, is that what you saw, or do you see it differently?
I took it more that it was a receipt from Mania, because I know that one was an audible called. You know, they had to shorten something. We're going to shorten Joe versus Mysterio. But, you know, what do I know?
Exactly. I've been telling you this for years. Thank you for finally coming around and seeing the light.
I feel like this era of wrestling, they put the importance on the stuff that either was important in the past or, this basically was important in the past. They don't take risks very much anymore, it feels. And now with the inclusion of yet another belt,
Whoa, that's topic two. We're about to get into that.
Okay, we're going
to get into that momentarily. We're going to get into that.
We'll make this a segue then. This is the era of belt uselessness. Champions don't mean shit anymore. Right. Topic number two.
Whoa. Before we get into this topic number two, man, let me just rebut and then we'll go into that. The reason that Brock Lesnar is the top draw in that company is the same argument, not even argument, but the same critique that I have on today's product. And I understand things evolve over time and you either evolve or die and you got to get with it. I'm not trying to be, you know, yada, 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 get off my lawn, old man Platt, okay? But it's gone away from being like simulated combat to more of a performance art type of deal. And the reason that Brock Lesnar still draws and is still box office because he's the one guy in that entire company, not named Ronda Rousey, who's off making babies, who has an air of realism still attached to him. And that's why he draws, and that's why they still draw on him to draw.
Well, I'll get into the era of realism once we talk about topic number two.
Speaking of which, Mr. Tunney, if you don't have anything to add, let's go ahead and get on the good foot and do the bad thing.
One of these things is not like the others. One of these things doesn't belong. Can you tell which thing is not like the other by the time I finish this song?
So, Aesop, we were looking at all of the WWE championships there, and the song's over. Can you tell which one doesn't belong?
Jesus Christ, that 24/7 belt is the most hideous thing I have ever seen. Oh my fucking God. If it just needs to be burned. Burned. It's awful. Like, there is nothing good that that belt brings to WWE. You know, I've heard so many people say, oh, well, I'd rather see, you know, them do segments with this than recap, you know, a match from an hour and a half ago. What's wrong with that? Honestly, there's nothing wrong with it. What the 24/7 belt does to WWE, not so much to WWE, but the workers of WWE, it delegitimizes every single person in that fucking company. And makes the other champions even more useless. I'm sorry. I hate it. I despise every bit of it. And the only reason why they did this was for people under the age of 10.
I think that's very strong. I mean, that's a very strong opinion. I kind of disagree. As a fan, I enjoy the segment for what it is. It's, you know, it's something different. It's funny. You can make it, you know, serious at times if you want to, but it's just a way for more people to get on television and kind of show what they got. I don't know. That's kind of what I like about it. I think the belt looks fucking awful, to be honest with you. What a great time to bring back a spinner belt with like a clock on it to show that it's being defended 24/7. To me, it's just the rebirth of the hardcore title at its end. Now, I understand you completely despise and are disgusted of this, but what are your feelings, though, as me, as a fan, like enjoying the storyline and that it provides?
It's, you know what? If you want to put in a new belt at this point, take away, it's have too much. Too much going on. We honestly have an entire show. One, like all the Raw championships are on one show for a 3-hour show. We could. We legitimately could. It's there that everyone has to soak in. And I know that you're like, well, this gets people on the air. Yeah, but so what? It does not get them on the air for anything good. But look at how the start of the 24/7 belt happened. Mick Foley dropped it in the ring, and Titus O'Neil decided, hey, this is something that's going to save my career. Well, no, it doesn't do anything. Yeah, it gets Titus O'Neil some more screen time, sure. But what does it do to develop his character or develop his credibility as a worker?
That's a great question. The whole thing with me, though, is now they've had R-Truth with an actual storyline through two nights of running around and messing around with this belt. I mean, at some point, you could give it to someone like Bray Wyatt. Like, who's going to try and, you know, pin Bray Wyatt 24/7? You know, you can do different things. You may not necessarily push them and find out who they are as a wrestler in the ring and telling a story there that's very important, but you're going to be able to expose people's characters more to the audience. And I think that's the good part about it. Like, if you don't take it too seriously, I think it can be a good thing.
That's funny. I've been talking this whole time and didn't realize I was muted. I was wondering why you melon farmers were ignoring me this whole time. That's funny. But this is the thing. And, you know, I'm not going to talk too long here, ASAP, because I know, you know, your calling card only has X amount of minutes calling from jail, so I want to make sure we get as much ASAP as we can. But y'all can't have it both ways. Like, we can all agree that the product has been stagnated for a while and hasn't been good, and now they're trying some new shit. I'm now, will it work? I don't know. Like, but at least initially, yes, it's campy. Yes, it's hokey. But it's also going to be fun. It is going to give people an opportunity to get on television that might not have been had an opportunity to get on television. And we're going to get some entertaining segments out of this. At least initially. Like, I've been tickled pink with this whole R-Truth thing since he won the belt.
I got to tell you, I learned two things right about now. One of them is I had my left sock on inside out. And the
really,
other one,
you wasted your time for
well,
that.
Well, and the other thing is Aesop, I don't know, he must be driving through a war zone right now.
Is it that bad?
What do you got, your window down or what?
I'm coming home from the teaching. I don't know, is it that bad?
Bro, you sound like you're on the phone while you're running from the police and you just want a recorded audio of the interaction. That's what you sound like right now.
Now you sound okay, but before it sounded like you were sticking your phone outside the window going 65.
You sound like you're trying to train dolphins at SeaWorld while simultaneously holding a phone conversation.
Hey, I'm my best here. I can't help it that my doesn't have exactly the greatest of silence. I don't know.
We're losing them. If we're not trying to make you feel bad.
Why are you still using a track phone, bro? It's 2019, man. Even Boost Mobile stepped their game up.
I can't help it. There's bad service.
He's getting pissed. We're just fucking with you, man.
But I'm trying my damnedest.
I'm just saying, man. The 24/7 title. Yeah, the title is ugly as work shoes on a Tuesday. But I mean, it's something new. It's something different, and it's going to give us some entertaining TV, at least initially. Obviously, they'll end up running it into the ground and, you know, whatever. It for what it is, man, it's fun. And, I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited for AEW to get online because, you know, I've said it on these airways. Vince McMahon hasn't had a original idea since the initial WrestleMania. So I'm excited for AEW to get on the airwaves so they can see what they're doing and Vince can do it better.
I give this belt a year and a half. I don't think it lasts past that. I think they'll try everything they can to keep it this year. They screw it.
Okay, I'm sure you said something very pithy and profound. We just didn't hear it, Optimus Prime. So I guess we'll move on to topic number three.
God damn it!
Oh, we heard the goddamn it.
We heard that.
And that's Alfred's cue.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Woo! All right, guys. Let me talk to you something really important. Seth and Becky sitting in a tree. KISSING.
First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the breakup of the wrestling marriage. I don't even know.
That was quality. Aesop, you got the next line?
There's another line to that rhyme?
Okay. Oh, well, there you go. Well done.
I mean, you know, it's a, you know, wrestling relationships, they pretty much last the span of a middle school or a junior high school relationship. And, you know, just wrestling in general, it's kind of like the cast of Saved by the Bell. Eventually, everybody's fucking everybody except for Screech. Like, that's just how this goes. I'm not wishing ill will on them, but I, you know, as far as longevity in this relationship, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just waiting. Eventually, me and Becky will meet in person and we will go about and live our happy lives together. But
I'm rooting for you.
Like, those are two really great people, and hopefully they do make it. That would be awesome. But I cried a little.
Oh, you poor thing. Do you need a hug? Would you like a hug?
Only if it's from Becky. I have a thing for Irish accents. I can't, I'm I can't control myself.
Really? Because when I hear her talk, all I think is potato famine. Maybe that's just me, though. And of Mice and Men for some, and Daniel Day-Lewis for some strange reason. Very attractive young lady, but the accent does nothing for me.
I mean, who's not attracted to Daniel Day-Lewis?
Was that the topic? I'm pretty sure that wasn't the topic. Gangs of New York was excellent, but I don't think that, and Lincoln, I don't think that that was the topic.
So who was better in Gangs of New York, DiCaprio or Daniel Day?
I think
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, I don't.
Daniel's character was better, though, but Leo did his thing. But Daniel had a much more fun character to play with, though. I'm just saying.
Is there a better performance from Leo?
I liked him as Howard Hughes in The Aviator.
Yeah, that was a lot easier role to play without someone that is considered a better actor than you on set.
He was good in The Departed. Jack Nicholson was there.
Same story.
But Jack Nicholson's not considered a better actor than DiCaprio.
You want to know a movie of DiCaprio's that I really, really like that it's kind of like shit on, that isn't really respected much?
You're going to say The Beach, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I am. Wow, that's awesome. You're the fucking man. Oh, dude, you're the fucking man. I'm sorry. That was amazing. I can't believe you got it. That was amazing. I love it. Listen, I also want to say that I seen What's Eating Gilbert Grape in the movie theater. So, you know, don't fucking judge me.
No, he was good in that. And, I mean, that's another, he was there with Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp used to be able to act well as well until he started, being a pirate.
What's the hat trick he did in that movie? You know, you put it, you can put it on, it would pop right off.
But what are your thoughts on Becky and Seth? You think they're going to go the distance?
Oh, I hope so.
It's weird though that they went public with this thing because I mean relationships are hard enough as is. Relationships are harder when you're, you know, a celebrity or somebody in the public eye, and it's even harder when you go public with said relationship in the public eye. That's just a lot of pressure to put on a relationship.
Well, I think the more important thing to talk about them going public was how Edge and Beth Phoenix helped them go public with it.
Is that really important?
I don't know. The Twitter thing back and forth, like that's how they went public with it. You think Becky and Beth really just randomly went back and forth on social media and that's how they went public with the relationship?
I think they went public with it to explain why Becky drops a belt to Charlotte at Money in the Bank.
Go on.
Well, because it's a very common thing to keep the couples together on the same show. And if Becky is making the runs on both Raw and SmackDown, that takes away time from her and Seth being together. And they just did that with Andrade. Remember, he was supposed to go to Raw, and after him and Charlotte were together, they moved him back over to SmackDown. To kind of help with that.
Yeah, but that's more of a marriage thing, though, Sob. They don't really, not saying they don't respect non-marital relationships, but, you know, they go out of their way to make sure that married couples stay on the same brand. But if it's just a random relationship, I don't think that factors too much into things, man, because, again, it's wrestling, man. Like I said, they're like middle school relationships.
Well, like I said, they just did it with Andrade and Charlotte. They're not married.
So how do you know that that was the impetus for that move? Maybe they just didn't know what they were doing. Maybe they wanted some Latino presence on SmackDown going to Fox. Maybe the move was all about getting Aleister Black over on SmackDown, and you had to move Andrade because he's married to Zelina.
Wait. But again, that still falls under the same category. That's two birds with one stone. They did the same thing with Sarah Logan and Killian.
Is it Killian?
No, it's one of the Viking experience guys, and I refuse to call them by Eric or Ivar because that's stupid.
I get him and Killian. I know who, exactly who you're talking about. I get him confused with Killian Dane all the time. Killian Dane's the one with Nikki Cross, right?
Yes.
Why are we doing this, man? Why is Potter's War turning into fucking TMZ?
It's relationship advice. I don't know.
If you don't like it, go to the next topic.
Fine, let's do that. Elite. Make you move your feet. Got a pay-per-view when it sounds so sweet. Ha, hoo, hoo, ha, 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 ha. Ha, hoo, 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 ah. Elite. My name is Platt, and I'm so sweet. We about to talk about the Elite. That is AEW. Hate to trouble you, but stop what you think. Pay-per-view happening, will it stink? Will it stink? Will it stink?
The week after Money in the Bank.
You know I don't give a fuck. Let's talk about Cody and the Young Bucks.
Oh!
Wow,
Bucks.
Go ahead and suck my cock. How dare you leave the main event, Pac?
Pac. Pick it, Pac. Pick, Pac.
This should be a regular segment.
I feel like we're not going to top this right now. Like, we're done here.
Thank you for tuning in, guys. Topic 3 was just a freestyle.
Shalom. Hit it, Carly.
Pop. So apparently, for those of you that don't know, just to give a background, so the Pac Heyman Page match, which was initially scheduled to crown the inaugural AEW heavyweight champion, has been called off due to quote unquote creative differences. Now, if you listen to the scuttlebutt online, the problem was that Pac is currently the Dragon's Gate's heavyweight world champion. And he didn't feel comfortable taking an L, and they couldn't come up with a suitable solution to appease both parties. And now that match has been called off, and they're saying that Hangman is going to appear on the show, and they've got something better planned, which leads me to believe it's going to be Moxley. But we'll get to that when we start talking about the topic. But the fact of the matter is, the bottom line is, Pac versus Hangman is no longer a thing.
All right, well, I'm not going to even attempt to run down any more matches. You guys just talk about All Elite, okay? Go ahead.
From what I have heard, too, though, that a lot of people had heard that Pac was going over. So I agree with you, Platt. Yeah, that's what I had heard, that he was actually going to win. So that was kind of debunked. I agree with you that... I think it might be Moxley, but I just feel like that just seems so weird if it is. I really do feel like Ambrose is going back to WWE, because it just the amount of time that they mention him every time Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns is on fucking TV, that is so... not WWE. When a talent is done with the company, they excommunicate them and they never bring up their name ever again. So the fact that they still like to bring them up leads me to believe otherwise. Now, this whole deal with AEW with Paige and Pac, I'm a little bit stunned. I don't know if they did that due to... finding someone better, maybe to create, some news, some hype going into it. But, man, it does feel like that's the perfect person to come in and just set up your company in a big way.
Because, I mean, well, number one, I want to circle back and talk more about the Pac rumors that you've heard. But before I get back to that, I'm with you. It seems like the perfect person. And I also agree with you because it was weird the way that he went out of WWE, because they went out of their way to be nice to him on his way out the door. And typically they don't do that sort of thing. So, yeah, I was also under the impression that he was going to eventually end up back in WWE. I gave him 6 months to a year. He was going to go home to his nice house in Vegas, drink some beers, chill out for a little bit, and then he'd be back. Obviously, everybody, that John Moxley vignette has been overanalyzed ad nauseum, so there's no need for us to rehash that. But if they're saying, and obviously they're wrestling promoters, so, you know, wrestling and just combat sports in general are all about hype, but they're saying that they have something better planned for Hangman than the Pac match, whatever that may be. There's only two big free agent names out there. Well, three, okay? CM Punk, I think we can rule him out. But after him, there's Moxley and there's Alberto Del Rio. And I don't know, you know, I don't know his status right now. I don't know what Alberto's up to right now. So, yeah, all signs seem to point to Moxley, but, you know, what the hell do I know?
I mean, do you think that Del Rio is a bigger draw than Pac? I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I don't get excited and crazy for Alberto El Patron.
But, okay, former WWE world champion, huge name in Mexico. Yeah, I actually do.
I mean, that's fair.
He's got pedigree. You know, he's Mil Mascaris' nephew. So, yeah, I think he is a bigger
name. What about who just got fired from TNA? Or let go? Eli
Cross,
Drake?
Killer Cross.
What about Eli Drake? Didn't he get just?
Oh, I forgot
let go?
About Eli. Yeah.
What about him?
I forgot about Eli.
What about him?
He's not
dummy.
A bigger name than Pop.
Huh? Dummy.
What'd you say, you big dummy? How you get one of these across your face? Yeah, Eli Drake's not a bigger name than Pop.
He'd be a great get though. I would enjoy that, but yeah. I don't know. It's just this whole situation is just seems to be a Moxley setup. And if not, I don't know. That's pretty shitty. Like I said, too, Dean Ambrose had like three farewell, like, celebrations. He's not done with WWE.
It was like Michael Jackson. He had like 56 encores, you know?
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, he's like the goddamn Cher of WWE.
This all feels...
And, but and his girlfriend still works for them, too. Which,
his
you know,
wife, sir.
Or, sorry, wife. But, you know, that too is another deal that, you know, is very common. That once you know, you leave, your significant other tends to follow with.
So let me ask you this, and then I want to circle back because I want to really kind of dive in depth into Double or Nothing and AEW in general. But I do want to ask you, because you brought up earlier that you had heard conflicting reports from what I had heard in regards to the Hangman Page Pac situation. And seeing as how you're actually in the industry, I'll give you a little more credence than the bullshit that I read online. So, yeah, so you heard that Pac was actually scheduled to go over. So if that's the case, what was the issue?
Another thing I had heard was, that he was having passport issues, but that to me also seems very odd.
That doesn't make sense, because he was in WWE for how many years?
Well, but he hasn't been back, hardly at all since, and you still have to renew that every year.
I'd imagine it's a lot easier as an employee of WWE to get your passport than any other...
That's fair.
So I don't know how much to believe in that, but I know that there was a report of people had talked to others within the company who had said that Pac was going over. So that report of him dropping it to Paige. Also, too, you have to look at it as far as storyline wise. You're not going to have the heel go over on your first pay-per-view. It just doesn't make sense to me. They're going to send him home happy, and the best way to do that was to put it the belt on Pac.
No, that's true. I can't argue that, but it kind of fucks up my rebuttal, because I was hearing people online defending Pac, and the same people that were online defending Pac, again, this was me under the assumption that it was him that was causing the issue, were the same people that were shitting on Sasha Banks. So I can't even go there now. Like, I had a whole soliloquy lined up for that, and I can't even present that now because of this new information that you brought to light.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say for sure, but that's what I had read. Though I have heard the same thing about the Dragon Gate Championship. And if that's the case, because here's the deal too. Pac has yet to lose a match since winning that belt. That is something that is very big, very important to a bigger promotion. It's not like it's some schmuck indie promotion in like Berkshire, England, or some shit like that.
Yeah, that's fair. You know what I mean? Fair. Yeah,
it's fucking Dragon Gate. But I don't know. I know that. And that's the thing too, is that they went. They are actually doing the match that was planned. Still, did you hear? I don't know if you heard that at all.
Well, no, they've done it, and I think it ended in a DQ, and then Pac messed up Hangman's knee, and that's how they wrote him off. Yeah, that actually happened this weekend, right?
In Germany, I think, or something like that.
And they're going to show it on
Wednesday. Saturday?
Yeah, I think it is. Oh, I thought it was Wednesday.
Well, that's maybe it is Wednesday. I don't know.
Either way, they're going to show it. Yeah, they're still going to show the match. Yes.
Yeah, and I find that very odd as well. I don't know.
It's wrestling.
Yeah, but this is weird even for wrestling. I mean. Fuck.
But that's my point.
Just lines
it's wrestling,
up,
man.
This just lines up to be a Moxley thing, right? It just has to be fucking Ambrose. Which
When I say it's wrestling, I say that because I'm always under the assumption that we're always getting worked. That's just what it is.
It's all a work.
Exactly. Even when it's a shoot, it's still a work. Because it gets worked into the work.
Let's assume the match
is with Moxley on Sunday, it's a work.
Let's assume the worst. Let's assume that it's true. And they just were like, yeah, we're just going to say this and they can scuttlebutt about it. But what if they have nobody and it's true that they couldn't come to a conclusion on what they want to have happen? What's the best they can do if they really don't have those big options that Chris mentioned before? I mean, what's the best they can do if this is true?
They have to have those big options because they've hyped them up. And coming out the gate as their first official pay-per-view, they've got to come out with something hot and something heavy. Like, there's got to be talking points coming out of this show this weekend, because if there's not, that's an ultimate fail.
I think if that happens, they might make a guy double shot. I could see turning the Omega match into a number one contenders and then having them wrestle the winner of that wrestles Hangman later on in the night. I think that would be actually relatively good, especially if they had. Because what is that? Omega Penta, right?
Add someone else to add another. Actually, what about adding another match, having Hangman against somebody, then have a four-man for that?
Yeah, I think that's how they do it, if that's the case. But I think it just all lines up so well.
Yeah, it just, it's wrestling. So it almost makes too much sense, which almost wants to make you go the opposite direction. You know what I mean? I think that's what you're conflicted with, Sop. Am I right or am I right?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I'm just conflicted of the whole deal altogether. I just, you know, there's so many great talents out there that I would love to see fill that spot, but.
But how many are box office, though? And they've kind of got to replace Pac with something box office.
Well, you know, and to be able to do that, they would have to be open to wrestle. You know, and I would, you know, someone like, I think Marty Skrull would do a great job, but I'm pretty sure he's ROH exclusive, right? So, you know, fuck, can't use him. And, yeah, I don't know. This is just, it's difficult.
So let's go big picture here, because AEW is a big show. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of conflicting factions when it comes to AEW. And we talked about that on these airways. But the fact of the matter is, this whole AEW thing has injected a little bit of life into the wrestling world. So honestly, I'm going to be out of town for the holiday. My niece is graduating from high school on Friday, and then I'm be sitting on a Florida beach during Memorial Day weekend, and I'm going to be surrounded by nothing but females, so it's going to be hard for me to actually watch the show live. I'm probably not going to get a chance to watch it until I get back from vacation. But on a scale from one to woo, Sop and PC, you can chime in as well. How excited are you all about Double or Nothing? Because, I mean, on paper, regardless of the Pac Hangman match, on paper, it's a pretty good card. In my humble opinion,
I won't say I'm a woo. I would say I'm a very strong indeed.
Cool. Way to add some substance to your words, well, Mr. Tunney. Can you do better?
I think I was more excited in anticipation of what the final card would be than what the final card is looking at what it's going to be. But I'm still very much excited. Feel these nipples.
I mean, the final card is strong, though, man. We finally get to see the brothers fighting. This was something that they've always been pushing for. Lucha Brothers versus Young Bucks. I'm looking at that. That might be the match of the week right there, quite frankly. It's hard for me to think that Omega and Jericho aren't going to put on a good match. I mean, there's some good shit on this card.
Why not just add Hangman Page to that match and make it a triple threat for the title?
I see Kenny Omega doubling up on that. That just seems so much more. You get more heat that way as well. I don't know. It's going to be a great card, but the change in the main event in the heavyweight picture does throw a big wrinkle into everything, and it makes me have an eyebrow raised towards the rest of the card, as in, you know, like, well, what could happen? You know, how does that card change? Who gets added now? It's going to be an interesting show. That's, you know, like I said, I have my eyebrow raised towards it, and I'm ready to watch it.
I agree. Are you guys going to be able to watch live?
I'm planning.
Hell no.
I'm planning on
it. Fair enough.
I'm planning on it. I'm going to support.
Support by, you mean monetarily?
I'm going to buy it if I watch it.
And speaking of supporting monetarily, if you enjoy the content that we provide here at thechairshot.com, we would certainly appreciate if you all supported us as well. And you can do that by going to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and picking up your official Chairshot t-shirts. Please and thank you. Thank you and please.
Christopher Platt, why don't you take a break where Past You does the work?
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey, CP, how about we take this last topic and kick it with Aesop Mitchell?
I can smoke a bag of that. Let's do it.
Just when they think they got the answers, I change the questions. A little something, something, something.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Whoa.
Mr. Aesop Mitchell, we are well aware that you spent some time in a very uncomfortable place. You know, like the backseat of a Volkswagen.
I thought you were going to say prison, but whatever. I'm just saying his telephone service would lead us to believe that, yes, he has spent some time, yes. Or he's currently spending time in a correctional facility. But go on, Mr. Tunney.
Basically, we just want you to give us a firsthand take on your previous Saturday's evening.
Oh, well, this past Saturday I was part of a show in which I was supposed to do a run-in at the end of match three. And said run-in was not from the back. Not from the outside doors, not from the crowd. No, I went true old school and laid underneath the ring and hid for about 2 hours.
So how's that work, man? Do you have refreshments down there? And what happens if you have to pee?
Well, I was supposed to bring an empty Gatorade bottle, but I forgot it. So I just prayed to God I didn't have to go.
Been there.
It was, it was loud, obviously. I had some over-the-ear headphones, not noise-canceling ones, but some over-the-ear headphones that kind of, like, reduce that. The worst part of it was fucking cold. It was freezing. Every time, someone took a bump, the boards went up and sent a rush of air back down. So I was fucking cold, man.
Did it freak you out because it was dark or because you might have got a little claustrophobic?
No, there's a good amount of room. It wasn't that bad. I will say that every once in a while a big old bump would happen and I'd be like, oh shit. But for the most part, it was comfortable. I had some painter's tarps that I was laying on. Made one into like a little pillow. It was comfortable. I could have been there for a while.
And you said you were there for 2 hours, right?
Doors opened at 6:30. Show started at 7:30. And I was match three. I think I ended up being there for like an hour and 50 minutes.
Yo, man, that's 2 hours, man. That shit sound like Tom Hanks in Castaway, man. Like, what did you do to keep yourself occupied for damn near 2 hours?
I laid there. And I contemplated life. I used it more like, what's those fucking, like, wave pools? The float pools?
I got you.
Yeah, the sensory
that was
deprivation
like my wrestling
pods.
Version of a float pod.
So, at one point in time, did you ask yourself, "How in the bloody fuck did I get here?"
Oh no, I put myself in that situation. They were talking about making me come in on match one. I was like, "Hell no! You better make it late. I'll stay there for the whole damn show."
Fair enough. Did you have any nachos or a hot dog or something down there? Which
just me and my hand.
Oh, God.
Oh, so that's how you kept yourself occupied. Fair enough.
I feel bad for the ring crew that fucking took down the ring now.
Dude, I pray they were wearing gloves, man.
Yeah, they've all been baptized by Aesop.
Man. Like I said, they had those painter's tarps. They could have just rolled it up and threw them out.
Just to say, if somebody went home with Aesop's second child on their hands, that's unfortunate.
That poor child's going to be birthed with a fucking 6-inch-long beard on their face.
That's probably how Mae Young's hand came to be.
No, no, that's how they're going to take, that's how the doctor is going to pull the child out by the beard.
Oh. Wonder where Mae Young's hand is these days. Wonder what he's doing.
Probably living his best life. If I'm Mark Henry, I'm a little pissy because there's no way that's my baby.
I put my money on Hitching a Ride.
Somebody need to be getting a paternity test with Val Venus or something like that, because that's clearly not Mark Henry's hand.
Oh, why would you say that?
Obvious reasons. Just saying, man. Wouldn't Mark Henry's hand look like, and Mark Henry and Mae Young's hand look like Meghan Markle or some shit like that?
I don't know. I mean, Mae Young's hand, Mae Young was awfully white, so they had some alopecia shit going on.
At the very least, at the worst case scenario, you get logic out of that scenario, okay?
That's fair.
Nobody got that joke, huh?
Oh, I got it. I just didn't want to laugh at it.
What else did you...
I don't want to laugh. I didn't want to laugh. This fucking tough guy.
That's funny. That's funny. That's not funny. That's funny.
It's funny. With
both you guys. Screw you guys. I'm going out.
No, that didn't work for
you. Is that supposed to be your fucking hair? That was terrible.
Oh, we missed balls.
So you could do better? Yeah, but yes, we do miss balls.
Balls does
Link Hartman.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, so we know you laid under a ring for 2 hours. What else did you do this past weekend? And do you have anything coming up this weekend? Plug your shit.
Man, I wrestled a lot. This whole spring has been fucking busy. I've been pretty much double shotting and triple shotting weekends. And
leave your personal life out of this, man. I'm talking about wrestling-wise.
What was that?
I said leave your personal life out of this. So I'm talking about wrestling.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Go back to your logic joke. I've been busy.
Here for the gangbang?
Shows galore all over the Midwest. I just booked a couple more this past week. So I'm going to be traveling a lot this summer. And this upcoming weekend, I'm actually free. It's my daddy-daughter weekend. So me and my kid are going to go and do some shit.
Oh, that's cute. What y'all got planned? Or what do you have planned?
Last I heard, she gets to go hang out with one of my wrestler friend's kids while I help him move. So that's going to suck.
Yeah, that's a shitty weekend.
Yeah, I'm not exactly looking forward to it. But we'll find something fun scattered within somewhere.
Well, the kids are going to have a good time. But you guys, yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Fuck that. We're going to go play in they can go file my fucking taxes for next year.
Cool. So when are you going to be defending your belts? Are you a fighting champion, sir?
Yeah. June 14th, I will be in La Crosse defending my Heartbreaker Championship against Sierra and formerly Blue Pants, Leva Bates. Then I believe the next ICW show is...
Wait. Before you move on, Leva's on her way to AEW, correct?
Correct. Was she like the librarian or something like that?
Yeah. So. Yes. Yes, she is, I believe.
There you go. And Sierra's well on her way to becoming very successful in this business. If you want to, you know, see a really good young talent, check out at The Real Sierra on Twitter.
Yeah, she'll get signed sooner or later. All my damn friends are getting signed in places. I'm so happy for them. It's great seeing people that you know getting TV deals. A lot of that MLW talent are dudes that I know, so that makes me very happy to see that.
That's all right.
But yeah, then coming up for me is an ICW to defend the tag belts against the Foley Brothers and the Hooligans, who are relatively well known from these parts.
The Hooligans gonna beat y'all ass, but good luck though.
How do you know?
If you know, you know, brother. If you know, you know. But go on.
If you don't know, and now you know.
So, yeah, that's the upcoming plan. I know I got shit set up, too, to work for Hornswoggle again. So that'll be fun. I'm trying to think what else, man.
You know what? Don't you do a state fair show around this time of year?
Oh, no. Not till like August.
Oh, okay. I got you. I guess, yeah, it's shit. It's not even summer yet. You're right. I got you.
Yeah, and I don't even know if I'm on that show yet, but we shall see. To be honest, like, the next big thing that I got coming up is not this upcoming Friday, but next Friday, I got an improv show that I'm doing, so that'll be fun. Long-form improv show called Time Bomb. Should be great.
Cool. So if you're in the Wisconsin area, man, go holler at my man Aesop Mitchell doing his Time Bomb improv. And bomb is operative, so you want to be in the house for that, because there's nothing like seeing somebody bomb on stage. It's like one of life's great little joys.
Geez, wow. Oh, man. That's harsh.
It's rough, especially with an improviser. Some of those people, when they crash and burn, they fucking crash and burn.
Is it funny or uncomfortable or a little bit of both?
Depends. Am I on stage with them?
Yes. Oh, okay, fair enough. Touché. That, you know, spoken like a true performer. That's fair.
You know what, though? To be honest, you know, the troupe that I have are people that I know pretty well. And, you know, we're great at having that chemistry to work our way out of those situations. So, it's going to be a very fun show. It's based off of a long form improv game called A Herald, and it's going to be a really enjoyable time.
So I have to pee, so we got to wrap this up and blow this popsicle stand momentarily. But just real quick,
that's the solution to making this show shorter, huh?
Touche. But I have to know, just in the quickest words you can possibly find, what in the bloody hell is A Herald?
A Herald is a series of different scenes set at different times that eventually all converge on each other.
So basically like a, what was it, Cloud Atlas of comedy? Or Atlas Cloud? Which one was it?
Cloud Atlas, but Cloud Atlas is a little bit different because those are all different timelines. This one, time just passes in different increments, and eventually the characters start to blend together.
Okay, so it's not like different. So it's not like you're gonna jump from like the 17th century to the 21st century and shit like that. It's just like from like 5:45 to like 6:30, and then eventually everybody converges. Okay, but it's within the same universe.
Yep.
Okay, cool. All right, man, so let's go ahead and wrap this shit up, man. Plug your shit. Let the good folks know where they can find you.
You can find me on Facebook, AESOP Mitchell. I'm also on Twitter, @the_fabled_1, all in words. Also, you can find me on Instagram, @thecreamcitytraveler. Feel free to message me, because I get back to you really freaking fast.
Mr. Tunney?
You can find me at PC Tunney. Also, check out @podcastdwi. I don't know. Go to thechairshot.com. Have a safe Memorial Day weekend. Put out your campsite fires twice. And don't drink and drive.
He doesn't get back to you that fast. Not as fast as me, but he gets back fast.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Don't give me that shit.
Uh-oh, I see a program. Uh-oh, go ahead. Y'all got something y'all want to say to each other?
I think your mouth, damn it.
I think Aesop's the best. I think Aesop's the best.
Oh. Boo.
No. You know, I ask him and DPP to come out on Saturday.
Fuck. I was hoping to avoid
surprise
this.
Them. It's going to be all fucking great. And then they just fucking left me hanging. It didn't even be like, oh, sorry, we're not going to make it. I had to message him like 2 days later, and PC goes, oh, sorry.
No.
You blew up. You blew balled the Fable one, sir.
Oh, man, I'm gonna have to edit the shit out of this.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Dance, puppets, dance. You all can find me on Twitter at The Real C Platt, but more importantly than that, make sure you stinking asses go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. If you enjoy everything we do, all the content we provide, all the great personalities and podcasts, news, reviews, analysis with attitude, book us up, man. Show your boys and your gals some love, man. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up an official Chair Shot t-shirt. And if you go this weekend during Memorial Day and you type in the code Memorial, something might happen. I don't know if you're going to get anything off, but hell, it's worth a shot, right?
So go to prowrestlingtees.com. You're going to get a cookies message that says this is an invalid promo code. That's what's going to happen. Something's going to happen. That's it.
Either way, go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Try typing in the promo code Memorial and see if you get something off. If not, buy the shirt, man. It's like 20-some-odd bucks, man. Come on, man. Please and thank you and please.
You're going to get carpal tunnel from trying to fucking respell it every fucking time for like 37 times in a row.
You can also try Velvet Pipes. See if that does anything.
Pop. That does nothing, though, Sob. But I love you for saying.
You'll get a special message from Christopher Platt. In a banana hammock.
I haven't had you on here since you subbed in for me, man, and you did a horrible impression of me. I had to point that out before we get up out of here. Like your black guy voice was horrible. You sound like Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder, but not as good. And his wasn't good.
Man, I wasn't trying to be you specifically. I was going with a little bit of like Cuba Gooding Jr. with Tiger Woods Chris Rock. What do you think?
Well, okay, number one, don't ever mention me and Cuba Gooding Jr. in the same sentence ever again. No.
What, you don't like snow dogs?
I don't like snow dogs. No. I like snow bunnies. Don't like snow dogs.
You and Tiger Woods.
What are you talking about? You could You could
star in
Radio 2.
No.
Radio 2. Huh?
No. Okay, it's time to go home. Hey, Andrew, get well soon, brother. Sob, all jokes aside, man, thanks for tuning in, or thanks for coming on. Better late than never, man. And this dude is really a talented performer, and if you have your ass in the Midwest, anywhere that he's performing, be it improv, be it professional wrestling, you better have your face in the place, because I guarantee you will not be disappointed, and you will get your money's worth.
I should be getting to that southeast corner sooner rather than later, so you better be ready to drive, Platt.
That's what Kreba's here for, so we're good. Hey, man, for Aesop Mitchell filling in, Balls, get well soon, brother. For the commission, PC Tunney, I'm Christopher Platt. Thank you guys for tuning in. Until next time, shalom. Hit it, Carly. Cause it is.